Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I'm going to talk to you about a principle in the Bible that runs true from beginning to the end. A principle is a truth. It's a truth in the Bible that some are aware of, but like someone came up to me after first service and said, I had never had it explained to me about how this thing works. Well, I want to explain it to you. When you put God first, and the subject is principle of first today, first things first. When you put God first, everything comes into order. Now, that doesn't mean everything is just cozy and comfortable and you don't have challenges, but it does come into order. You have some kind of order to your life. You know who to turn to. When you put God first, there's order in your life. When I gave God my life, it changed the whole order of my life. I was out of control. When God is not first, your life is out of control. It just doesn't work for the good. So we need to put God first. Now I'm going to read to you a text on this principle of first things first. I'm going to read you a text out of Exodus chapter 13. I've got to go 1 and 2 and then 12 and 14. But here, listen up to this. Here's a little caution. Don't get hung up as we talk about animals and the sacrifice of the animals. Because sometimes I think we look at it and I start talking about the donkeys and the lambs and the sacrifices, the clean and the unclean. We kind of think, oh man, what in the world is he doing? He's talking about Old Testament. He's talking about something that has nothing to do with today. Give me more of what the New Testament says. Well, this principle is both Old and New Testament. But remember the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said two times, both in Romans and Corinthians, he said, the Old Testament, the writings, the things that happened in the Old Testament are there for our instruction. In other words, we're to look at the things that happened to the children of Israel. We're to observe their relationship with God. We're to observe the instructions God gave to them and what was their obedience in return or lack of obedience in return. And then we learn from those things. That's what Paul said. So we're going to learn from this. So don't get hung up on the animals and all of that, okay? All right, now we can read it. You bring it out in your Bible or whatever instrument you want to use, but I'm also going to bring it up here. These words are important. Exodus 13, 1 and 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate, that means set apart, to me all the, say this, firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is what? Remember that. Firstborn belongs to God. It's his. And then jumping down to verse 12, that you shall set apart to the Lord, again, set apart or consecrate, all that open the womb, that is, every what? Firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. It goes on from there. But every what? Firstborn of the donkey, did I say that right? Donkey. You know, when I first said that, I've been going back 30-some years ago when I was preaching, I can't tell you how many people came to me and said, you're not pronouncing it right. And I often wonder, how do they know they're pronouncing it right? But anyway, whatever way, donkey or donkey, you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. Wow. What does that mean? And all the, what, firstborn of man among your sons you shall also redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, listen to this, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Okay, let me take a few moments and go through this. The first point I want to make under this, and you can write this down, is this. The first must be sacrificed or redeemed. If you're taking notes, Write that down. If you're not taking notes, write that down. The first must be sacrificed or redeemed. That's what that text is saying there. How do you know, the question should be, how do you know then what should be sacrificed? What's the difference between the clean and the unclean? Well, God gives us two animal classifications here, the donkey and the lamb. The donkey represents the unclean, okay? The donkey, the lamb represents the clean. So you have the unclean and the clean. What's said in that text, if your clean animal has a firstborn, you sacrifice it. So if the lamb, which is a clean animal, has a firstborn, you're to sacrifice that firstborn. If your unclean animal has a firstborn, if the donkey has a firstborn, you have to redeem it or purchase it back. And how do you purchase it back? You purchase it back because the Lord owns it. You have to understand, the firstborn the Lord owns, clean or unclean, it must be redeemed by the sacrifice of a clean animal. Okay? Because they both belong to the Lord. What does this represent to us today? How does that relate to me in 2016? Let me explain. I'll explain it through this. It's the principle of firstborn. When you and I were born into this world, spiritually speaking, would you say we were born clean or unclean? Unclean, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All were born unclean into this world. All have sinned. So, we all have a sin nature or a bent towards sin. That's what it means here, a bent towards sin. Let me prove this. I want to ask the experts in the room, parents. You're the experts in the room. Did you have to teach your children to be bad? No. Did it come naturally to them? Yeah, it was their nature. They had a bent. We have to teach our children to be good. Okay, we were all born unclean. Now, was Jesus born clean or unclean? Clean. He was out without sin. He was the sinless one. Listen to this. The clean had to be sacrificed so the unclean could be redeemed. Now, someone ought to say, wow. Come on. Wow. The clean had to be sacrificed for the unclean. That's the spiritual principle. It's behind this. That Jesus was the firstborn Son of God. That's what he called the firstborn. So the firstborn had to be sacrificed to redeem the unclean. We were all, there's another word for donkeys. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed or purchased back with corruptible things like silver, gold, or your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your faith. In other words, none of this could buy, redeem you, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ. As a what? A lamb without blemish and without spot. Sinless, clean. Jesus was sacrificed for us. We have a position with the Father today because of this principle that is given to us. God himself followed the principle, gave his firstborn to redeem us who were unclean. Did you get that? He was the firstborn. Now, when did he do this? While we were yet in sin. He didn't wait for us to change in any way whatsoever. Matter of fact, he didn't even know, or he probably knew, I should say, but how would you know anyone else would accept this sacrifice? He did it while we were in sin, not really knowing while we were responding. You see, the response was, and you'll see it during the presentation of the play, the Easter play this year, Our Story, His Story, Jesus hanging on the cross, who did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. Suffering and dying and looking down and saying, forgive them for they don't know what to do. So Jesus was committed to the cross and to death And he submitted himself, not really knowing what the fruit of that would be. But nevertheless, God followed the principle of giving the firstborn. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He was given as a sacrifice. God didn't wait for anything. He just did it. I'm trying to make a point here. God did not say to the rancher or to the farmer, whatever. He did not say that, wait until you have 10 lambs and then you can give me one of them. He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, when you have the firstborn, you give it. It's just a given. You give that. You don't wait until you have 10. You give the first. See, it takes faith to give the first one. It gives faith to give the first one. The first must be sacrificed or redeemed. Now, ask the question. Why did God invent such a principle as this? What was in it for God? Actually, nothing was in it for God. God didn't do this to create a confusion with the people or anything like that. And he didn't do it because he needed the firstborn. What did he do? He did it for us because we need, it teaches us faith. God doesn't need our money. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, when we're talking about giving of our first to the Lord, it's not that God needs our money. He can send manna from heaven. He sent water from a rock to follow him in the wilderness. God could do anything he wants, but he knows what is better for us. So for our sake, he gives this principle so that we would be better off. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's a faith thing, and we know that faith is what we need. The just shall walk by faith. So it teaches us faith. It was for our sake. Faith to give the first. Let me give you the second thing here under this. The first fruits must be offered. So the first fruits must be offered. In Exodus chapter 23, we find this. The first, notice this, the first of the first fruits. In other words, to avoid any confusion, make it very clear how important the first is. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring, now notice this word bring, into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in the mother's milk, which goes on to another subject there. So the first of the first fruits you shall bring. Now I want to emphasize the difference between bringing and giving. Okay? Notice, it wasn't you shall give, because you see the first doesn't belong to you anyway. It belongs to God. So when you bring the first, it's you bring the first. You're not giving, because it's not yours to give anyway, but you bring the first. Now, if you're going to give, you give offerings. You can give above the first for universities. You can give for organizations that do compassion work or wherever it might be, or missionaries. That is the giving part of giving. Now, it all belongs to the Lord. But he said, just bring the first to me. And I'll allow you to work with the rest of it, and you can use that to give. So bringing and giving is different. Notice this verse in Proverbs. Proverbs says that honor the Lord with your, notice the word honor. It's a form of worship. With your possessions and with the what? Come on. First fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled in plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we honor the Lord with the first fruits. There's a principle in there, but this has a principle, and the promise is, I'm going to fill your barns with plenty and your vats with overflow with wine. Now, let me make something else clear here. When we talk about blessings that come, when we honor this principle and live by this principle and the blessings that come, it's not always financial blessings. So I'm not talking about God being some you know, something you pull a trigger and you give your first and all of a sudden God's going to pour out money on you. No, that's not the way it operates. There are blessings that come in many ways that are not financial. When I look at my life, I am blessed with a wife, I'm blessed with children, I'm blessed with a good church, I'm blessed with a good responsibility here as the pastor. These are blessings that I would have never experienced if it weren't for God. If God didn't give his first to redeem me, it would have never happened. So it's not always the financial blessings that come. It's to go to the house of God. Bring your first fruits, your increase, to the house of God. Bring into the house of God. Now let me give you two examples in the Old Testament. Do you remember when the children of Israel were moving up to take on the promised land? They left Egypt. They were with Moses for 40 years. Joshua's taking over. Joshua's going to take them into the land. And here's what God said. He said, when you approach Jericho, which was the first, say first. This is the first city they would have to battle and take. And then they would go on and drive out the inhabitants of other cities. He said something unique here. He said, when you destroy the city, the spoils, the silver, the gold, the stones, and everything else, you will bring to the house of God. That all of it comes to me. Why did he say that? Because it was the first city. It was the first city. And God said, if you'll honor me by giving me the first of the first city, then you'll have victory all the way through. You follow that story. What happened? Because they didn't. There was sin in the camp. There were some that kept some of the spoils, and they lost in the second city. They would have won. They would have won, but they lost. Let me give you another one. Excuse me. Genesis. Let's jump over to Genesis here, because a lot of people question and probably never found out the answer to this. But here it says, in the process of time, we're talking about Cain and Abel now. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, and Cain was a farmer, he brought a what? Of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel was a rancher. He brought the what?
Firstborn
of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. And it goes on to say in that verse 5, but he had no respect for Cain. Why? Because Cain knew better in the process of time. They both knew this principle. God taught it to them. He only brought an offering. He didn't bring the first of the fruits. He brought an offering, and God only knows what that was. But the difference was Abel brought the firstborn. Now, what happened right after that? Cain got angry. Isn't it amazing when you talk about bringing your first to God, there are some people that will get angry? There were some people that get upset that I'm even talking about this subject. And guess what? I don't care. Because it's not me you're dealing with. This is not my principle. I didn't come up with this just to fill the church and have more finances. I didn't come up with this. This was written hundreds, thousands of years ago. The principle was true hundreds of years before the law. And other people say, well, that's part of the law. So part of the law is before the law, but listen, the commandments were given as part of the law, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. We still live by that, right? You shall not murder, right? So what is it that we don't like about the law, you know, that helps us? But it was there before that. So we give God the first, we bring the first, and God blesses the rest. That's how it works. Now, the principle has always been there. Let me give you number three. The tithe must be first. Now, the word tithe, the Hebrew word, simply means 10%, a tenth. When it says give a tithe of your land, it means give 10%, that first 10%. First, you give to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. And all the, say tithe. 10% of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the what? It belongs to the Lord. It is holy or consecrated or set apart from him. Let me go back to that story in Jericho. One more thing I want to point out. In Jericho, when they took of that first and hid it in the tent, that family who did that, and they were discovered, do you know what it says about? It says that what they took for themselves was cursed. There was a curse on, so what was to be a blessing to the Lord was a curse to those who took it because it didn't belong to them. It was holy to the Lord. You touch that which belonged to God. The first belongs to God, period. Now, let me ask the question about tithing. Two questions I want to ask, what and why. What is tithing? What is tithing? Tithing, first of all, is returning, say returning. Returning. Not giving, returning the first 10% of our income to God's church. It's very clear in the scriptures there. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, meaning the church, God's house, that there may be food in my house. Tithing is giving God the first, the best, so he can bless the rest. Proverbs 3, 9, 10, again, in the Living Bible. Honor the Lord by giving him the what? First part of your income, and so he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest of wines. Again, we give the best. Now let me give to you why tithing. That's what it is. It's giving God the first to the church. Why? Number one, tithing provides God's work through the church. Tithing provides God's work through the church. This is where he brings us in to partnership with him to do the work of the kingdom. And let me tell you how valuable it is for things to be ordered in the church. If this happens in the church, there's a strength about the church that creates a ministry that goes worldwide. And I'll give you an example of that, my trip, Ajay and Nancy. Let me give you some background, then I want to show you some pictures. The background to their story, Ajay and Nancy Kukawakasin is their last name. They will be here next week, by the way. They're coming. We'll be here on Sunday. Missions class, they'll be speaking and also in services for us. Their two sons are here in the States. Ajay and Nancy. Nancy was a single girl who got saved at our church. She started attending the adult ministry, young adult ministry, college and career class. She got involved. I mean, she was very active. She was growing. She was being discipled. And she even helped out in our youth department for a while. And then she felt a calling on her life, and we sent her out. Now, fast forward, she was sent out. She ends up in Thailand. And in Thailand, she ends up working in a home, which was a home that rescued girls from prostitution. Now, in Thailand, prostitution is a real problem in Bangkok. There are over 500,000 prostitutes in the city of Bangkok. It's unbelievable. And you can't get off a plane and walk to your hotel without being handed some calling card by several men that are out and they're selling these girls. Where do they get the girls? They go up to the villages and they talk to the fathers and the chiefs because they don't have value. So they sell them for a year or 2 years' wages. And they go down and become prostitutes. Now I'm talking about 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls that do this. So she got involved in that ministry, which was a fantastic. I visited it when she was single. Fantastic ministry. Loved what she was doing there. Come back home. And then we hear that she's getting married to this man who's from the Akha tribe. And the Akha is an unreached people group. There are 2 million of them in the world. And they're all concentrated in those five countries around Thailand. China's where they started. So this Akha man who has vision in his heart. So I went over 18 years ago then when they were married. And I was there 18 years ago. So I haven't been there in 18 years. This is significant. In the 18, when I first went over there, they were just getting started. I went to the village where Ajay is from. It's called Elephant Mountain. It's about an hour out of Chiang Rai, which is in the north, into the village. You're going back in the National Geographic. You're going back Thatch Roof. When I went there, I spoke at their small church. Handful of people in a thatched roof building. Okay, I start there, and now I want to give you some pictures, okay? This first picture, I want you to notice here, the girl to the right, young lady to the right of me, you see her to the left there. She's interpreting for me, okay? Her name is Bhuti. And Bhuti, I hadn't seen her in 18 years. She was one of the young girls in the house 18 years ago. Let me go back to this young girl. There she is. Cute. Now she's married, just got married a couple months ago. But she's interpreting. She has perfect English. She speaks Akash, she speaks Thai, she's educated, and now she's taking over the children's department of the whole foundation. And she grew up in this. Okay, so there's another picture of her in the typical garb celebration or formal wear of the Akka tribe. That's what they wear, that's what they look like. And that's Ajay 18 years ago. Okay, now let's go to another picture. Now, here we are in a revival. We're speaking at a revival Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then there's a graduation on Saturday. But here's the service Friday night before the graduation. Now, you have to understand, none of this was there. These are all people who got saved in those 18 years, ministering to them. Go to the next. I just want to show you some of the things happening. Here's another couple, Paul and Lori Vernon. Paul graduated from Faith Christian Academy, and Lori here, and their parents, Paul's parents, Patty and Keith, are in our church here, and they're in Sunday school right now, I believe. But I just wanted to show you that they're also from here and went out there, and they're in the village where they are with Cheryl, and this is their first church building. They're just building it, okay? But he also went up there, been in this village for 6 years. And now he's working with Ajay and Nancy and the Akka. They're part of that organization. Now, these are pictures of the complex that the Akka Foundation is located. This ministry that grew in 18 years. Nothing was there. The land wasn't even bought yet. But I couldn't take, I had to take several. Here's the picture. Look at the buildings. Look at the buildings. Just keep, look at gorgeous dormitories, classrooms, college classes, and here's the building where they gather. It'll fit 1,500 people. This is where the graduation, and they're standing in the middle of this building. Now, on Saturday during the graduation, this is the campus where people are coming in. 1,500 people are coming to this thing, family members and all, and so they're coming in, having flowers. They had food for outside. They were eating, and now, here's Ajay, and here's his first Akka convert. This gentleman here, his first Akka, and he pointed it out to me, so I wanted to get a picture of that. Okay, let's go on. His first convert, and now there are hundreds. Let's go on to the next. You see the orphans in the front. The students are standing behind them, college students that are in there, for the young, middle-aged adults that are in college there. And that's just a picture of them. This is during the graduation. Here's the graduation. They are proud. They've been in college 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. They're graduating. Here's the graduating class on the platform there in that building. Keep going. Now, we leave there, and we're going up into the village on Sunday. I'm going to preach back at the village where there was a thatched roof, where it was 18 years ago. So I'm going back to the Elephant Mountain 18 years later. As we're going into the village, he said, oh, by the way, see that gentleman? He said he was dying. He was on his deathbed, and God healed him and raised him up. And his whole family's behind him in that building. But that's not all. He forgets to tell me. He just says he got saved. On the way out, oh, he said, I forgot to tell you, when we baptized, he was blind. But when we baptized him, God opened his eyes. Amen. And it was like, it was like nonchalant. It was like, oh yeah, by the way, he was blind and now he sees. And we're walking up the road. You know, we freak out if that happened here, and they just have it happen. Let it happen here, amen? Let it happen here. So we're going into the village, and I'm just showing you the structure. Now we're inside the new church. Not that's true. This is their worship team. Look at These people were worshiping God, singing songs, we know. And now Ajay's interpreting for me. But look at the stage, all tile. They did, now keep going. And this is the congregation. It was a thatched roof, handful, and now there are hundreds that are coming to this church just 18 years later. A people that did not know the Lord, and now they know the Lord. It's reaching a whole nation. This is another building that they're proud of. They're building themselves, not outside help. They're actually doing it themselves. It's a strong congregation now. And here's outside of the church, and here's Ajay and Nancy. And you'll see them next week, hopefully. And amen. Let's give God glory for what he's doing. Amen. Now, here's my point. Why tithing? Tithing provides God's work through the church. Nancy and Ajay said over and over and over again, they said, listen, if it weren't for the support of Faith Bible Chapel, and think about it, she gets saved here, she gets discipled here, she goes out, he comes back and goes to school here, he came to school here, he goes back there, the church here, we support them monthly, there are people from, and the funds from contacts and people in the congregation built these buildings. There were men of means that came up and women that came up and built these buildings, and it was a result. It's from Faith Bible Chapel. Listen, to have a strong base, strong local church is the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world. And when we all participate, we're able to keep doing this more and more, not just one nation, but have another nation and another people group. Or how about more work in the city here, more of the things we need to do to reach our community. It happens when we have a strong church ourselves. The second reason why we tithe. Tithing teaches me to put God first. I need that in my life. I need a reminder in my life that God is first. So God gave this principle so that we, when I write my first, when I give my first to God, I want to do it out of worship. God, you are first. Look at Deuteronomy 14. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. Doesn't get any clearer than that. That's the purpose of tithing. It's the most tangible measurement of where you are in your relationship with God. You show me your checkbook and I'll tell you what your priorities are. Bottom line. What did Jesus put it another way? He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, right? You follow the treasure, and that's where your heart is. If you put more money into some kind of activity, and you buy all kind of equipment, that's where your heart is. Your heart's in that activity. But see, God has to be first. Now, God doesn't want to deny us these other things, but you put him first. Matter of fact, there'll be blessings on these other things. So, thirdly, why tithing? Tithing builds my faith. Tithing builds my faith. And as I move out in obedience to this word, and you know, giving God the first is nothing more than just giving him what's his anyway. It doesn't belong to us. Where do we get this mixed up? You see, it all belongs to God. It's an amazing thing about God. He said, it all belongs to me, but just bring that first, and I'll let you have the rest. But do it. I want to show you this testimony up here of a family in our church.
I grew up tithing and I knew all the verses on giving, but after buying a business in 2001 and running into problems, I had stopped tithing and I didn't tell my wife. Not giving didn't help. And after a year, I was 2 months behind on my mortgage. We had drained all of our accounts and we had maxed out all of our credit cards.
I was at the grocery store when I found out. I had two toddlers in the cart and a baby, and I was largely pregnant, and I went to pay, and my credit card didn't work. And I thought that might be a fluke, so I tried again, and nothing worked. So I was forced to leave my groceries at the store and go out to the car, where I called Heath to find out what was going on.
Our first service at Faith was a message on giving, and I decided that next Sunday to return to tithing. For me, it was about who was in control of my business, my finances, and I wasn't putting God first. Amazingly, 10 a.m. after that, I got a miracle call from a man that I had never met. That call completely changed our business, from that point forward. Today, that company is 16 times larger than it was back then, and God gets all the glory. We are the Cardies.
And that's why we give.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate Heath and Rebecca, their whole family sitting right over here in this service. Appreciate you guys. You know, sometimes you think the first service you come to, and he's talking about money, I'm never coming back there again. But they got a hold of a principle that changed their lives. And not only are their givers, their family has been blessed, but it just worked. And you might say, well, that's just one of those unusual things. Listen, I've been in this long enough, and I've heard money, so many testimonies. That's not abnormal. That's normal. That's normal. It was normal in my life that things begin to happen when I begin to trust God and put Him first. Bring all the tithes. 10%. Now notice this, and try me now in this. If I will not open up for you the windows of heaven, in other words, test me, if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and say, and. It's like God saying, and if you'll call right now, you know, if you'll call right now, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The added benefits. Who's trying to devour your finances? Enemy. We started out with the verse that, you know, so we get so strapped and things are so out of order that we put money in our pockets, but there's holes in our pockets and it just seems like it's falling out. We can't get ahead. Bring the first to God and see what happens. Test them. I'm not saying this. God said that. Test them. Try me. God said, come on, test me. Bring it first to me and see what I won't do for you. Personally, I can tell you, I'm overwhelmed with God's blessing. Now, let me go back to one more thing and we'll close. I read that verse in Exodus where it says, there'll come a time when your son will come to you and say, why are you doing this? Okay, all right. So the son, maybe he's going to be taking over his dad's business. And he's looking at the books one day, and he notices that his dad, for 30 years plus, has been offering the firstborn of all their flock all the time. Or, and killing that and redeeming. And so he goes to his dad and says, Dad, listen, I've learned a lot about business. I went around the way to college. And this doesn't make sense. God, you're giving away, you're killing the firstborn, the best. Well, we could make more money if you didn't do that. And the father says, here's what the father says. What was his answer? His answer was, and I'm paraphrasing this. He said, son, one time I had nothing. I had nothing. And God came into my life. And he gave me a business, gave me a wife, gave me good children like you. But I had nothing, son. He brought me out of my bondage. That's the answer he gave him. The motivation, think about it, folks. You didn't have anything. You would have nothing if it weren't for God. The very breath that we breathe comes from God. The ability to do our work and make money, the gifts and the talents. God has given those gifts and talents to us. He gifted us to do these things. Are you getting this? There should be no problem talking about this principle. This principle is right. God deserves all of it. But I thank you, Lord, that you allow to work. And guess what? He not only allows us work, but the 90%, He multiplies. Somehow, some way, I can't always explain it. I can't explain it all that happened in my life, but for whatever reason, what I needed was there. I never starved. I was able to provide for our kids. I know where I would be if it weren't for His redemption. Personally, I know where I'd be. I would not have a good wife. I would not have the children I have. I would not have this beautiful church as my family. None of this would have been true unless God gave His firstborn and redeemed me. Yes, Lord, I want to bring all that I can. Would you stand with me, please?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.